What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, FightfulSelect.com. This is the Backstage Report podcast. Let's get into it. Let's talk about our news over the past week. The big one today, Becky Lynch, her deal is up in 2024. I had some people asking about this one after Becky Lynch sort of, I don't want to say she blacked out her Twitter, but she changed her Twitter name to her real name, Rebecca Quinn. And I had over a dozen people on Twitter and then a half a dozen people on Fightful Select itself saying, when's her deal up? When's her deal up? Her deal is up in June of 2024. She signed a new deal upon returning to the company in 2021. It was a three-year deal, so her maternity leave has nothing to do with this. There's no frozen time or anything like that. We got several people that are like, this is news? Well, yeah, contract stuff is news. Watch a sports show sometimes. Or just look at Fightful Select literally any week. But Fightful Select reported that Becky's deal is up next June. Contract negotiations have not started as of yet, from what I understand. But she had, you know, she was supposed to be a part of a Marvel movie a while back, and it ended up on the cutting room floor. But she's rep by CAA, so that's going to be interesting, considering that they're going to have to probably do some business with Endeavor, which is, I think, her former management. She used to be managed by WME, but lots to that that we will start to see unfold over the next year or so. And I had somebody say, why is this even reported if it's a year out? It could be 4 years out and I would still report it. And every contract at some point, if it was at least a year long, has a year left on it. So it's something worth monitoring, worth paying attention to. I mean, not even necessarily for the other company's aspect, but look at how WWE has been over the last several months. They re-signed Logan Paul. We've heard the Kavinder twins are coming in, but other than that, we haven't heard a lot of extensions or re-signings or anything like that. And under Endeavor, we don't know how necessarily that will change, adjust, or work. So that is something that we have to keep our eye on for better or for worse. Want to give a shout out to the new show on Fightful Overbooked in the Weeds. That is Jeremy Lambert and Joel Pearl. Big shout out to Joel Pearl, who did a bunch of interviews in Montreal and covered Impact Rebellion live for Fightful this past weekend in Toronto, and does the Impact post show as well, in addition to a number of things. And then Jeremy Lambert, who just got promoted to director of content here at Fightful. Every Monday, Wednesday, and I think Friday morning, they are doing a show from 8 to 10 a.m. on Fightful Overbooked. This morning, they had the first interview with Deonna Purrazzo after she won the Impact Knockouts Championship. So make sure you guys check that out. The interview is up on Fightful. It looks like we'll be doing that here and there. So that's even more exclusive content for you guys. We're going to be bringing you guys as much as possible, but I wanted to give them a little bit of a shout-out. Fightful Overbooked is a sort of a sister site to Fightful, where we have a lot of different shows over there. Also, Wrestling Perspective had EC3 on today, but Dimitri Young, former MLB All-Star, hosted as well. Unfortunately, Shaza McKenzie is being interviewed this week as well. Nothing I could do about that. I want to apologize to you guys for having Shaza anywhere near Fightful, but unfortunately, it's got to happen. Jordynne Grace, she's been around Fightful here and there. Might be around somewhere else. Don't know. We're going to see. As of last month, Jordynne Grace's Impact deal was set to expire in May. I've been told that Impact would ideally like to retain the Impact star. Obviously, she has had some incredible success in Impact Wrestling. She had a really, really interesting deal in 2019 because she joined Impact in 2018 and they thought that they had her signed and she was going to be there for years. But what happened was the paperwork never got filed appropriately and she waited about 5 or 6 months, showed that she could excel in that environment, showed that she could draw based on, you know, their standards at least. And then shortly before AEW Double or Nothing, the first one, she went to them and they said, or she said, let's do a new deal. And they did a new deal. Now that went into 2021, and then she signed a 2-year deal then, And it was at least set to be up as of last month. I have not heard if she signed a new deal since that period. But we're going to work to find more there. And that's going to be one that definitely gets some interest from other people. And depending on how WWE is with women using OnlyFans and exclusive content websites moving forward under Endeavor, that could be a make or break thing for a lot of women. Jordynne Grace is a millionaire because of that. A millionaire. Well, MJF is also a millionaire. We interviewed him for an interview that drops, or spoke to him for an interview that drops on Tuesday. We talked about Britt Baker DMD, Thunder Rosa, MJF Day. I talked to him about why he picked the song Pennies from Heaven, and he gave me like a really sincere, great answer about his grandfather, Papa Stanley, the tattoo he has on his leg. He says that his grandfather was a band leader, and Pennies from Heaven was one of his favorites, and it was an homage to his grandfather. It was a very rare, genuine look inside sort of the heart of MJF and what motivated him to do something. Then he buried Allie Catch and her singing skills. But I also asked him about Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. And he says that Rhodes himself had an entertaining past or an interesting past with him, and Cody looked like a top guy but didn't win. But Cody is the epitome of putting the work in. Said that he doesn't know if he would have been happy that Cody won, but does know Cody had an incredible outing, probably the best match of the entire night. Check out that interview on Fightful on Tuesday. Cody Rhodes, some interesting news there. He had some meetings regarding potential movie roles. He has extended interest in appearing in a potential upcoming Zelda film, which shows you how much I know. I didn't know that news wasn't out there, so that caused a bit of a stir. And also, he's expressed some interest in a Johnny Cage role for an upcoming Mortal Kombat movie that The Miz has been angling for. Now, Cody has had very good connection to the TV and movie realm outside of wrestling. He appeared in Arrow. Of course, he did Go Big Show, Road to the Top. And then he also appeared in Warehouse 13 and WAGS Atlanta. But we're told that he doesn't plan on being a part-timer in wrestling. Any projects he does would go around his WWE schedule, and he's adamant about that. That's like a him rule, not like a WWE rule, not like an agent rule or anything like that. It's something that Cody Rhodes specifically wants to do. Is he wants to be a full-time guy in pro wrestling, wants to do the schedule, he wants to work that type of thing, and anything that he gets would need to be surrounding that. Johnny Gargano, unfortunately, not full-time right now. He re-aggravated the shoulder injury that had him sidelined for much of January. He had a couple of matches his first few weeks back, then wrestled about a dozen matches in March, and it got worse and worse. And we're told that by the time that NXT Stand and Deliver happened, he was effectively using one arm. And the hope from the company is that he can repair the injury with physical therapy as opposed to surgery, but who knows now? Now, I saw a lot of people that said, oh, well, you know, Vince came back. Vince is back, so that's why Johnny is gone. Well, that's not the case. And that was one of the things that was told to me when I, well, okay, let me rephrase that before people go crazy. One of the things told to me when I inquired about Johnny's status was, you know, it's unfortunate timing because so many people online immediately assumed Vince is back, doesn't like the small guy. Vince specifically communicated to Johnny Gargano in late 2021 that he wanted Gargano and Candace to remain in the company. Vince McMahon was a big part of extending to Johnny Gargano, we want you here, please come back as soon as you're able. Like, that was always reiterated to me that Vince McMahon was very, very much on board with Johnny Gargano and wanted him with the company. So that has nothing to do with that whatsoever. Joel Pearl caught up with Effie. Make sure you guys check that out. He talked about his time on the road, about how he works as a comedy guy and how his character performs as a result of that. Talks about weirdest places he's ever wrestled. Talked about a lot of cool things, maintaining his character as well. Joel Pearl spoke to Speedball Mike Bailey. Talked about wrestling Masha Slamovic, talked about GCW, Impact's X Division, Frankie Kazarian. He said that his ultimate goal is the challenge for the world championship while being X Division champion as well. And he also talked about teaming with Jonathan Gresham and said that it was stressful and scary, but the reason why was because they're the best in the world at the kind of wrestling that they do, arguably. And he felt like, you know, there was an awful lot of pressure there associated with that. He says he has a lot of long-term goals, but he wants to build his Twitch stream as well. Also mentioned that America has an advantage for pro wrestlers who want to make money, but it's much more challenging in other parts of the world, even though the scene in Canada is doing great. They also spoke about Veda Scott, who we think the world of here as well. Mickie James did not get to do her match at Rebellion. We're told that doctors had told her maybe months she could miss. 20 extras as security guards are brought in for Raw. That should be fun. We have asked Billy Starks if the rumors of her signing is accurate. We haven't heard back. WWE sources told us that the draft being placed around the NFL draft is not an accident. At one point, LA Knight was scheduled to beat Xavier Woods and have a backstage segment with Gunther per internal documents. Dark Side of the Ring has announced their return. They had reached out to me about some possible topics and some ideas in January. MLW Fusion set to return this spring. Cesar Duran, who is the former Dario Cueto, has been away from MLW as he's filming Mayan MC on FX. They did a kidnapping angle on MLW to explain his absence. He had to change his look due to the Mayan FC, or I keep saying Mayan FC like it's a football club. The Mayan MC show, but will restore his look upon returning. Or maybe he'll go play some football. I don't know. Despite the unusual online speculation, those that we spoke to said Christian Cage as a part of Edge's WrestleMania entrance was not a realistic situation. Cage is still under AEW contract. MLW are being represented by Range Media Partners and are shopping their own PLE package. MLW sees this as essential for their business model. They're open to individual UFC-style sales, and it could also end up with them airing premium monthly specials that aren't pay-per-view at all. Scott Edwards spoke to Takumi Iroha. You guys should check that out as well. He's just killing it, man. He is doing so many good Joshi interviews. He talks about her traveling to America with Marvelous in May. She said she's very excited. She plans to receive a standing ovation when she arrives. Talks about how she was healing from her broken collarbone. Said that she's still not perfect, but a lot of cool stuff in that interview with Scott Edwards. Again, Scott Edwards is just doing such invaluable work with us here at Fightful. If you're following this saga of Brian Cage, it has come to a bit of a conclusion. There was a lot of back and forth negotiating here. Brian Cage's deal was up between late February, mid-March, depending on who you spoke to. And AEW wanted to extend him, I think, for similar money than what he's making. He was rep by an agent who kind of fought for him in that regard. But AEW is also saying, you know, we might extend you through the summer or through June, I think it was, due to injury time, because when he was signed, he was actually injured. So that effectively puts a bow on that rumor as well. Yes, he was signed while he was injured, despite him claiming that he wasn't. However, he had said, no, I'll work through Supercard of Honor and, you know, I'll do business and drop the titles when I need to, etc. Well, they kept the titles on Brian Cage and the Embassy and threw a pretty interesting creative idea at him, which was teaming with Swerve Strickland, which is a really great spot because Swerve Strickland's going to be a major part of AEW for years to come. So I had heard that Rey Mysterio had pushed for Brian Cage to get into WWE, and there was actually a brief period in which WWE could have made an offer, but it didn't end up happening. WWE, again, is on an unofficial hiring freeze, whether they tell anybody else they are or not. They are on an unofficial hiring freeze, and Nick Khan has told some people in or around the industry that they may start hiring again soon now that the deal is effectively agreed to. The sale, rather, or the merger, or whatever it is. But Brian Cage ended up signing with AEW, got a nice pay bump. The deal is a 5-year contract with a 6th-year option. Tony Khan had told me after ROH Supercard of Honor that he wanted to keep both Brian Cage and the Embassy together in AEW, ROH, for a long time. I had heard that MJF, Chris Jericho, some other people had went to bat for him, either publicly, privately, whatever that may be. There was a lot of positivity regarding his work after he had that time off, and I had always heard that Brian Cage was sort of a little bit bummed out over that time off, and boy, did he make a good impression, and at the right time, at exactly the right time, he made a good impression and now figures to be a part of AEW for the next 5 to 6 years. So that one was actually a very fun one to cover and follow because this one was a little bit different. It was a guy who was not a main eventer, who was repped by an agent, who, whether he had options or not, he was told that he had options from within WWE and had a lot of people pushing for him and also heated up at the right time. So I really enjoyed covering that story. Hope you guys have liked following along with that one. And hopefully there's some cool stuff that we see out of Brian Cage and Swerve Strickland. Okay, let's dive into the CM Punk story. Oh my gosh, I've got a lot to say about this and a lot to talk about this. So our Wednesday story led to our Thursday story. Here was the Wednesday story. I had talked to a lot of contacts within AEW, within Warner, and some people that are familiar with CM Punk's feelings and things like that. I want to reiterate something. At no point have I spoken to CM Punk and gotten anything that could be constructive or useful for a story. CM Punk has long been under the impression that, incorrectly, mind you, that the Elite fed news to the media about the Colt Cabana story. So not exactly keen on me or any of the media, obviously, but I've reported consistent and accurate information on him. And again, nothing about this came from him. There's no serving as a mouthpiece or any of those weird things that I saw online. I saw people saying, oh, well, it's Dax telling Sean Ross Sapp these things. I'll give you guys a little bit of insight on Dax. Anytime that I want to ask something about a CM Punk or about like something like a contract or anything like that, he is very adamant, let's record it. Let's film it. Let's do an interview. Let's do this. You saw it at WrestleCade. You saw it recently with our interview and when I did their show on about 15 minutes notice. But that's the way it's always been with him. Cash just doesn't talk. That's just the nature of it. So I'm going to be fully transparent there. These stories weren't as a result of CM Punk or Dax. It was a result of talking to between the two stories, over 15 people that at least that I can think back of and count, but 10 people on the second story as well. The first story was CM Punk is open to returning to AEW in a variety of capacities, just open to returning to wrestling in a variety of capacities, whether it be working with the Elite, working without the Elite, or working elsewhere. However, I do not know if working elsewhere meant like WWE, New Japan, or Ring of Honor within AEW. Now, as far as the Elite goes, I don't know like how the Elite feel about that. I don't know. To my understanding, the Elite have just been very quiet about this situation. I know Hangman has been very quiet about it. Hangman wasn't answering questions about it like in the spring, much less last spring, much less now. The most recent thing I heard about the Elite and CM Punk was months ago where they didn't seem keen on it. Now, there's something that I think is very, very important to note here. The Elite are actively negotiating new contracts. Now, I want to tell you guys how I would do it if I were the Elite, whether I liked them or not, whether I liked CM Punk or not, if I'm them. I would say, okay, Tony Khan, we make X amount of dollars. CM Punk makes X amount of dollars. It is very clear that we don't like him, and he probably doesn't like us. We have seen the situations that have unfolded. We have seen all this come to a dreadful culmination at some points. But we will work with him. That's me saying, if I were the Elite, I would work with him. Easy for me to say sitting over here behind a desk. However, what I would say is, you need to reimburse us accordingly on our next deal. We need to sign absolute monster deals for however long, however much money it is they're seeking, to justify it, to make up for it, to say it's worth it getting into this situation with this person that we have very clearly not just had issues with, a physical issue with. That's what I would do. That's just me. I don't know how they feel. I don't know exactly what happened in that room. And the reality of this situation is anybody that tells you they know exactly what happened in that room when the Elite and CM Punk and Ace Steel had their thing, the people who know were there. And the people who were there have not spoken publicly about it. Now, plenty of them have spoken privately about it because there were a lot of people in that room. And details did emerge. But nobody has spoken openly and publicly about it. I'm still working to find out more, still working to learn what I can about that situation and all that, but this led to me talking to an awful lot of people after Wednesday about the possibility of CM Punk coming back, to the point to where I was told, and you saw Ryan Frederick from Observer, their board, back that up and said, oh, I had heard that too, and it wasn't from this set of people, et cetera, et cetera. And I know based on things that he had tweeted and said before that he did know it. I can tell you that there were a lot of people that I were talking to that were very aware of this situation. Andrew Zarian spoke with people close to Warner and confirmed a lot of this. There is a show coming called Collision on Saturdays. Originally, it was set to be something way different. But one of the ideas being floated around now is a top primetime show with a bit of a split crew, people that want to work with Punk, people who don't. I don't know what this means for Rampage or anything else. The word is that whatever week they're in Chicago, whether it be the 17th, the 21st, or the following Saturday, CM Punk is tentatively slated to return. I've heard that CM Punk was set to meet with Chris Jericho. I've heard the reports that FTR was to be involved. I don't know that to be the case. I haven't confirmed that whatsoever or even heard that. But I know that Chris Jericho was a creative option that was thrown out there. I don't know if that was a let's see how this goes type of thing or if it was a well, this is what you got. But I know that that was something that was tossed out there as a real possibility. Now, CM Punk, from what I understand, was excited about the idea of CM Punk and FTR versus the Elite. I don't know how much of a possibility or a likelihood that is. I personally would expect a lot of information and a lot of news to drop around the upfronts, which are May 17th for Warner, and that's a big AEW day as well. But before last week's show, it was between us breaking the first CM Punk story and Dynamite, I was told, look out for May 17th, look out for June 21st. Well, June 21st got announced later that night as Chicago Wintrust Arena. And then in between not sleeping Wednesday and Thursday dropping that story, we were told, oh, CM Punk's currently slated to come back then. And I constantly say things like currently slated, the working plan and set in stone or not set in stone. Because, you know, we've seen how a lot of this unfolds, right? We've seen one story come along and sort of blow some things up. And I've seen some people say things like, look what you've caused. No, the fuck we didn't. No, the media did not cause this. The media reported what they were told and what information was out there. Not sorry. People got into a fight, we reported about it. A guy almost lost his job. We reported about it. There were suspensions. We reported about it. One of the most interesting figures in wrestling history wants to come back. And who knows how that will work. We don't know how the other side feels. We reported about it. It is very, very easy to blame media in one of those situations. But that's a very lazy thing to blame it on. But either way, I appreciate all of you. We got over 10,000 subscribers yet again. You know, we're going to have more on a lot of these in the Q&A this week as well. We've got Ask Grapsody. Will Washington has a lot of information on that too. So you guys are going to want to check that out. But I just want to say thank you all so much. I never thought we would get to 10,000 subscribers once. I thought we would settle between 7,000 and 8,000 maybe. And we're back here again. I want to say thank you all so much. I truly appreciate you all. We're out.